Financial Matters.
16 minutes after 8 o'clock, and Dr. Frank Magwegwe joins me now. And you'll know that Dr. Frank Magwegwe is Head of Financial Wellness and Advisory at Nedbank, and is also a Gibbs faculty member. He joins me now on in the studio. Dr. Frank, thank you so much for joining me. I really
good
appreciate
evening,
your time.
Good evening, Aubrey. Good evening to 702 listeners. You know, I've been so much looking forward to today. I must admit, I was a little bit disappointed when I found out that last week, you know, there was another show that you needed to do, and I must come back.
Because
I just thought, my goodness, the conversations we are having that really get 702 listeners to appreciate what are these things that we call habits. Actions that we take almost unconsciously. Driving, smoking, you name it. Just, you know, I must brush my teeth before I go to bed. You wake up, I reach out for my phone for some people. And it's so interesting, Aubrey, the more I've been thinking about it, that although we are anchoring it around financial habits or money habits, we're broadly just talking about a powerful thing. There are habits in everything that we do. Eating habits, driving habits. So certainly what we are talking about can touch all aspects of 702 listeners' lives. And for me, that is exciting.
What is even more exciting for me, Dr. Magwegwe, is the fact that in our last conversation, you alluded to financial personality.
Yes.
I thought that was really, really quite something.
Yeah.
And you spoke not only of, I mean, didn't speak of the changing of habits. You spoke of, you give me the right terminologies, but what I got out of that conversation is that the very idea, the psychology behind the idea of changing things,
absolutely,
is quite an effort. Yeah?
Because words matter.
Yeah.
How we frame things matter. In fact, I was having a discussion with my colleagues today at Nedbank, and they were also saying to me, you must practice what you preach. You know, on that show, you said change is a bit threatening when you talk about habits. Why are you using the word change? In fact, they actually offered a beautiful word, shift.
Yes.
That, you know, we can think of shifting habits.
Right.
Because mentally, we know so many things we have tried to change and we failed. So when someone comes and says, change your habits, we immediately go to how difficult it is to change things. So I think when we shift habits, when we talk about adopting new habits, it's a less threatening language. And I think it's probably has a high likelihood of leading to action. I feel less threatened. I'm curious. Let me try to do one or two things as we'll unpack today.
Yeah.
What 702 listeners can do to shift those habits, to adopt, you know, new habits.
So give us a
Wedding
call
matters.
On 0118-883-0702. By the way, the people in Cape Talk are listening to us too.
Wow, so awesome.
Yeah, so if you're in Cape Town, please give us a call on 021-446-0567 as we talk about shifting your habits, shifting your paradigms, shifting perhaps your financial personality such that it is beneficial to you. Because what's becoming more and more apparent to me, Dr. Magwegwe, is that this situation where things almost happen to us rather than us being soberly involved, actively involved, exercising our own agency in our financial well-being.
Absolutely.
Is something that we need to really focus on, because I'm worried about this idea of things happening to us.
Correct.
This helplessness that we have adopted, and I'm understanding that words matter here.
Yes.
But it almost feels like, based on what we were talking about the last time, that we've lost our agency almost, that our habits rule our thinking, not even our thinking, because, you know, we don't think about it, we just do things.
The actions we do,
Let's talk about the and very idea of how do we start that process, this shift.
And it's so beautiful for us to go back to the first discussion on this amazing, amazing topic, because when we do things automatically, we don't put a lot of thinking into them. And so you're quite right, Bra Aubrey, that what then happened to things happen to us.
Yeah.
I just got this too much debt. I just happened to have it. I don't know what happened to me. You know, every month I run out of money at the couple of days before payday. And these things just happened to me. So what we're saying, 702 listeners today, is we spoke last time about one of the things that underlies these things happening to us. We are not conscious about it. It's our money personality. Think of it really as your relationship with money. What is that thing that's driving what you do with money? And because we know, and me included, the good doctor, I have a knowledge and action gap.
Yes.
I know a lot of things that are good for me, but I don't always do them. Every single human being has a knowledge action gap. So we tried to close that knowledge action gap last time by saying, if you're intrigued by this idea of a money personality, there are various ways you can go and do quick surveys that you can find out your money personality. Once that has happened, so at least you're aware on what is driving what I do with money, right? That's where we ended. So today we're building on this idea that habits, they are made up of three things. I briefly introduced it last time. The idea of a cue or a signal, right? I wake up in the morning, as I open my eyes, if you have that habit, even sometimes with your eyes closed, you reach out for your device,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then you want to see what has happened overnight. Or for some people, they stumble their way to the kitchen. They are going to the coffee machine.
Yep.
Those are habits, right? So there's a signal. I've woken up, then reach for my phone or go for my favorite beverage. Or as my daughter would say, my favorite bev,
yeah.
Right? So there is a signal or a cue. Then there's also an action, going to the coffee machine, stretching the hand to get the phone, right? So signal and the actual action. Then we've got the most important thing, Bra Aubrey, around habits. Rewards.
Ah.
Habits thrive on rewards. Because what happened in the brain, there's a center that says, wow, this was awesome. Reinforce it because I like what it does to me, the reward system in the brain.
Yeah.
So it says you wake up, you stumble your way, you press that coffee machine, then you sip your that's the reward for that, right? Or you check your WhatsApp, or you check your phone, whatever it is that you are looking at.
Yeah.
So when we talk about shifting habits, we need to acknowledge, we must find ways to reward ourselves as we adopt new habits, because that's what gets them set. We need to find ways of rewarding ourselves. Now you must be wondering, how do you reward yourself? So we know you must think of the signal or the cue. We think of the action and we think of the reward.
Yeah.
And this is not huge. This doesn't have to be monetary rewards. I mentioned last time, I'm a runner. I push myself out there in the morning. It's cold. I do what I need to do. How do I reward myself? So I wake up, I want to get a coffee. And then I say, no, don't. I'm going to enjoy this coffee after my run. So my reward, I wake up, my shoes are ready. Like I said, sometimes I'm running gear. And then out I go. And then I have set that habit, because the reward for that long run early in the morning, even if it's cold, is getting the coffee. It's a delayed reward. I didn't get the coffee immediately and go. So rewards matter for habits.
I'm thinking about that story of the Pavlov.
Is it correct? Pavlov.
Pavlov.
With the dogs
with
and
the
sound.
Yeah.
And they start salivating before they even see the food.
That's right.
Correct.
So it sounds very much the principle of that Pavlov experiment, where the dog, the dog has so strongly associated the sound of the bell,
correct,
with food,
yes,
that at the sound of the bell, the dog begins to salivate, even though there is no evidence of food.
Yes.
So you're saying to me that what we need to do is to condition ourselves,
absolutely,
condition ourselves such that we associate the new habit,
yes,
with the reward.
Absolutely.
So that we desire the new habit because it's so strongly associated.
Beautiful.
With
That's it.
The reward.
Yes.
Wow.
And of course, you know, What a beautiful example of this Pavlov. You saw me giggling. I was giggling because I'm thinking, you know, 702 listeners.
At heart, we are all dogs.
Yes. And after 702 listeners, I went, these guys, where are they going with this conversation? But I just want to give an example. And I am sure every 702 listeners there, if you are true and honest yourself, you are going to agree with this. We're thinking of Pavlov. We're saying we're not dogs. We don't do that. I want to remind you, some of the elder citizens, you know, like me, we still remember Red Hanger Cell. And we know Red Hanger Cell meant you need to go and buy something. That's very similar to what you have said. We were conditioned.
Yes.
We get the Red Hanger Cell advertised and off we go. And of course, retailers are doing the same for the Blue Dot Cell, Friday, what do you call that, Friday? Black Friday.
Black Friday, yes, yes.
I must get something because it's Black Friday. They are doing a similar thing. So we human beings, we can be conditioned. I must buy something because Black Friday is here.
I want to invite calls, 011-883-0702, as you listen to this conversation. Are you able to identify certain habits that you have become associated with, that your financial behavior has become associated with? And do they concern you? Or do they give you a sense of, maybe this is the right way to go? Yeah. And what rewards can you give yourself in the changing or the shifting of those habits? I'm liking the idea that words matter here in this particular conversation. Please give us a call on 011-883-0702. And the idea behind that is that it's our habits, really, that give us our financial reality. Our habits give us our financial reality. So what are your habits? And I imagine, Dr. Magwegwe, what you're saying to me is that we need to be a little bit more conscious.
Absolutely.
About our habits.
Yeah.
And that might sound like a bit of an oxymoron, because usually habits happen unconsciously,
yes,
right? That's why they are habits.
Absolutely.
But what you're calling us to do is to be aware of them. So we need to be conscious. Yeah. We need to awaken our minds to what it is that we do, the thinking that goes on in our minds, as unconscious as it might be. Yes. We need to bring it to consciousness in order for us to understand.
And here is a good example. Several years ago, when I was working for an insurer out there in Centurion, here's what I used to do that speaks directly to what you have said, Brother Aubrey. So I'd wake up in the morning, being a bit of a procrastinator. Remember, I said even the good doctor has a knowledge and action gap.
Yes.
I do procrastinate a little bit. So here am I rushing to drive to Centurion. And I didn't manage to grab my coffee, you know, at home. Then I'd quickly stop by a BP garage, Wild Bean Cafe. I get my coffee. Didn't even think about it. They even knew me by then. They just know Black Americano large.
Yeah.
I jump in my car, I drive. One day, as you say, Brother Aubrey, that you're not aware. I just sat back and I don't know what had happened. And I just said to myself, I think the price had gone up. And maybe it was like $23 for an Americano. And then it was, let's say, $25. And suddenly I realized, and I just did a quick maths without almost thinking, 20 days of the week, 20 days of the month, 25 rand, that's 500 rands. Wow.
Yo.
That's so interesting. Do I want to spend 500 on takeaway coffee? Now, you remember the good doctor doesn't judge.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying I got an awakening.
Yes.
I am spending 500 rands on an American every day that I'm rushing to work because I don't have time to make coffee. That's the level of awareness we're talking about. Something might just happen. And then you just stand back, 702 listener, and you say to yourself, my goodness, this is so interesting. Every time there's a sale, I do this. Or every time there's buy two, get one free, I always participate in that. I walk in my favorite retailer. There's that counter that says reduced by 40%. I always pick a lot of stuff, even stuff that I don't need. That's the awareness that we're talking about when you talk about the habit. Right? To start, then you ask yourself, wow, interesting, I do that. Then, of course, an important question next is this serving me well? Does this work for me?
Yeah.
And for me, I said, oh, no, it doesn't work for me. If I'm not putting 500 rand in a unit trust and I am having takeaway coffee, it stops now. I'm going to invest in a small coffee machine.
011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. Dr. Frank Magwegwe is my guest. Your habits. How do you reward yourself? How conscious are you of the habits that have created a set of behaviors that are either working or not working for you, financially speaking? Give us a call. Langa is in Durban, in KwaZulu-Natal. Good evening to you, Langa.
Good evening, Mr. Masango, and good evening to the good doctor.
Yes, good evening to you, Langa. What is on your mind, my brother?
Hey, Mr. Masango, man. Hey, man, I'm self-sabotaging. I am self-sabotaging when it comes to my finances.
Self-sabotaging, yeah.
Because of I have like bad habits. I get paid, I do what I need to do, and then, like, for instance, today is the 25th. Nothing.
Oh, Lang, I'm losing you.
Speaking of rewarding yourself, I'm even thinking that, like, I don't even deserve to reward myself because my head is, I'm just sabotaging when it comes to my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, what do you want to do? Do you want to keep that kind of behavior or do you want to change it? Does it concern you as a as something that you've observed? Because I think that there needs to be, you got to want to, right?
Yeah.
You got to want to. So I'm almost wanting to hear you say, La, I want to change that. Because sometimes,
I need to change.
Yeah, because sometimes the identification of a problem is not necessarily the solving of a problem, right? Dr. Makwekwe, Langa wants to change this pattern of behavior.
Yeah. This is so wonderful, and they are leading us into ideas around what do we do when we want to shift behavior. So, in the work that I do at Gibbs, one of the things that I found out in my research is the following. Three things, 702 listener, needs to be in place for you to change, right? For you to shift your habit. So, Langa, what needs to be there is the following, right? Number one, there needs to be dissatisfaction with the status quo. You know, this is not working for me. Life can't carry on like this. No, this is too much. This behavior is not good for me. You've got to be dissatisfied. You can't change when you're in your comfort zone, right? So that's D, standing for dissatisfied with the status quo, with the current way things are. But that dissatisfaction is not enough on its own. We need another important element. And that element is a vision. I even want to qualify a compelling vision. When I have shifted to a new behavior, what will be happening? You close your eyes and you'll be saying, my goodness, this new world, I'll have a little bit more savings. I can do short left. I can travel. I can have coffee. I can, you know, whatever your hobbies are, I'll have a little bit more around my hobby. So the vision accompanying a shifted habit needs to be so compelling that you want to do it, right? So that's V. So I'm giving a change formula here. D, dissatisfaction with status quo. V, compelling vision. Then we move to what Bra Aubrey just said. Even with DNV alone, it will not work. You need F. What does F stand for? First steps. You need the ability to start even in a small way to shift to that new habit. There is an amazing book that talks to this idea. So let's just talk about the formula for a second. D times V times F, right? Needs to be greater than R. R is resistance to change. And you can see I'm talking times, not plus. None of those can be zero. You can't have lots of dissatisfaction, big vision, and you can't even take first baby steps. So you remember, anything multiplied by zero is a zero. So the change formula says D, dissatisfaction with status quo, times V, compelling vision, times F, ability to take first step, must be greater than the resistance to change.
Uh-huh.
Once you have that Langa, that compelling picture of a new life in a shifted habit, you are on your way to shift that habit. And you find a small way. You know, I read an amazing book. It's by B.J. Fogg. F-O-G-G. B.J. Fogg is a Stanford professor. He says, the book is called Tiny Habits. tiny habits. He says, you know, he used to find it, I know, but Aubrey's going to laugh at this one. He used to struggle with flossing his teeth at night.
My.
It was a big thing for him. And I'm not making it up, 702 listener. It's in his book. He says he adopted, he shifted his habit one tooth at a time. So he said when he just did one tooth, he flossed one tooth. He says, yay, I was able to do it. I'm going to do two tomorrow, three tomorrow. And within a month, he had adopted a new behavior of flossing his teeth. So that F, Bra Aubrey, to ability to take first steps, it can be as small as flossing one tooth. So for you, Langa, you've got to say, what is that one thing I can, the smallest thing? And why must it be small? So that you achieve it and you pat yourself on the back. Yay, I've done it. There's your reward.
Langa? I think Langa.
His line is bad.
The line is bad. And I probably know what the reason for that is. It's probably a word that starts with an L.
Exactly. That has entered our terminology since 2014.
011-883-0702. Here's an interesting question, Dr. Makwege. This is a question that says, evening, Aubrey and Dr. Makwege. Does the habit of marshmallows given to kids only extra if they delay to eat one lead to adult savers? I suppose it's an exercise that she does with her children.
Yes.
Can that kind of delayed gratification exercise lead to better adult savers?
Absolutely. There is actually a study on that. So amazing. This is one of those famous marshmallow, you know, experiments that is just trying to get the sense of delayed gratification. Now, of course, we know one of the problems that faces consumers, including the good doctor, is instant gratification. I want it, I get it now. I want it, I get it now. We don't delay. We swipe our card. We don't necessarily have the money in the accounts and all those things that we do. So this famous study, because people were so interested in its results, there are people who have gone back in history and found young people, children, who demonstrated that restraint. You know, we give you two if you wait and you don't eat, so that delayed gratification. And it has been shown that young people with the ability to delay gratification in adulthood become better savers. There is academic studies that absolutely support that. That's one of our challenges.
I imagine that exercise that the listener does with her children has to somehow be connected to finance. I mean, because you can do that exercise, but if there's no cognitive connection to finance, it might be a great habit, but that is not focused at the right place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when they studied it, it didn't link directly to finance, but certainly I agree with you, Aubrey, that if you're doing it in the house, you're practicing it, you want your kids to, you know, have this ability to delay gratification, it would be good as you socialize them financially, you know, to link it to finances, to say, you know, when you get R100, so you say to your child, maybe use the 3S principle, right? What is the 3S? When we get money, we really do big three things with them. We save money, we spend money, we share money. Those are the three things we do, mostly. So you teach your kids, when you delay gratification, of that 100, you decide to take 10 rand and you put it in a bank account. It grows in time and it's more than 10 rand. So try to link it like that.
Right.
Definitely you will raise kids who definitely are more
financially
aware.
We need to have a whole show just on that.
Absolutely.
Because I think that children are fertile pastures.
Absolutely.
They're fertile. They don't know how to fail like that. Or they're not used to failing.
Yeah.
So new ideas and new concepts are usually imbibed with such readiness.
Curious.
Right?
Yeah.
That for me I think is a very, very important conversation to have. Khalibuwe is in Kyalami. Hi, Khalibuwe.
Hey, good evening. Good evening.
Good
bro.
Evening.
How are you?
Very well. Very well, Khalibuwe. What is on your mind?
Once again, you are doing it again. The house tutoring at late at night. I'm very appreciative.
Thank you, sir.
Magwaga is just amazing beyond amazing.
Thank you.
just a quick one, Doc, the good doctor. I'm a bad caller. I smoke, I drink.
Yeah.
I'm 40 years. I've been unemployed for the past 6 years.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
You know, every penny in which I get does not make sense.
Yeah.
So I love how you started it by saying that, you know, we let's not refrain away from the word change, rather use and shift. Love that. So how does one with the good doctor that you are, and how would you best advise me, doc, to save the little bit at 10 rand? No, just to give you a quick one. My father is a prolific businessman.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows money from back to forth.
Yeah.
He never taught us money.
Yeah. It often happens, yeah.
How he teaches us money, how can you not do this? How can you not think like that? But how the doctor is actually brewing it, and it's amazing. I'm wishing that I was listening to the show when I was 20 years old. I mean, I know how to sell. I mean, I'll sell fire in hell.
Yeah.
You know, but I just don't know how to match those skills with my money management.
Yeah.
My lady's one foot of my baby's mama is outside the door because of I cannot good money habits.
Yeah.
How do I now? And I know. I know exactly what's right and I know exactly what is wrong. But doc, yo, Mujima Koto, when the 100 rand hits the pocket, all that I have had planned before the 100 rand goes out the window.
Khalibo, I want you to stay, right? Because I want to hear what the doctor has to say. Because I think you speak for many of us. For many, many of us. To the point sometimes we say, Baraloyile.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because we seem not to have the agency to stop this bad behavior. Doctor?
Sure. This is such a wonderful question. And I'm sorry to hear unemployed. And what comes to mind for me is a couple of things. So firstly, Aubrey knows I'm big on self-compassion. So I don't want you to be too hard on yourself. Self-compassion talks to the idea of speaking to yourself as you'd speak to your friend, being kind to yourself, right? So don't judge yourself harshly and say, yo, I'm so terrible with money, right? So just start there, give yourself some slack. We all learn money through trial and error. Very few people are fortunate to have someone in the house who teaches you about finances. So here's an idea that I want to share with you. When you are facing, you know, a big challenge, as you have described, I know what I must do, but I just cannot do it, right? So I do a little bit of financial coaching. So I would ask three questions. I think for me, some of the most powerful questions that can help us shift habit. What are these three questions? Supported by some of our research at Gibbs, for example. And what you say is, so you, my client, I'm the coach. So I would ask you the first question, and it is this. How important is this shift, is this change to you, right? Most people, Bra Aubrey, on a score of 1 to 10, how important is this? Ha, Dr. Max, 11 out of 10. That's what people say. It's very important. Okay, good. How important is it? Very, very important. You give it a high score. Then I move to the next question that says, how confident are you, right? We are talking in your case, you want to start saving a little bit of money, even 10 rands out of every 100. Then I say to you, how confident are you that you can take 10 and save it? Now you start saying people again, out of 1 to 10, 10 being very confident, 1 being low. You hear people start saying, maybe I give it a 6. Mm. So what you are starting to hear, Bra Aubrey, it's important, but I'm not confident I can do it. Then we ask the third and most powerful question. We then say, tell me, you said it's very important, but you've got low confidence in this new habit of putting a little bit money aside. Then I say, how ready are you to start? Yo, Bra Aubrey. When you say how ready, 2 out of 10, 3. So what happens is we want to change. We want to shift to new habits. We are not aware. We're not having an internal dialogue.
Yeah.
How important is it? Are we confident we can do it? And are we ready to do it now? So if those three are very low, say we're saying one very low, 10 very high. If they are all below 7, you're not ready. You're really going to need something to work with you, to help you going back to that compelling vision. This new world, when I'm saving a little bit of money, will be like this. And I'm sure 702 listener, if you think about it, how important is the change? How confident you can do it? Then we finish off with, how ready are you to do this new behavior habit now? Very few people score all of them 10. And therefore, we are stuck in knowledge and action gap. We don't do. And we are not judging people, Bra Aubrey. We're just saying we don't ask these three important questions that are critical for shifting habits.
Dr. Magwegwe, I've got a theory, but I'm going to express my theory through a question.
Beautiful.
But let's take a call before I do that. Prince is in Soweto. Hi, Prince.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thanks. Prince, what's on your mind, sir?
Good. Yeah, I don't know if it's a question, comment, or yeah, whatever. But
all welcome, sir.
Nonetheless, yeah, man, I've got a thing that smoking. I'm a smoker, drinker. Like, yeah, I live. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
But now my issue is, with that, I actually see it as it's a waste of money.
Yeah.
Frustrated a little bit, quite a bit, when you speak to the other callers.
Yeah.
That when you sit back and actually look and calculate how much you're actually spending on a monthly basis, I'm actually spending a lot on, I'll call it, these useless things.
Mm.
But now my question is, this smoking and the drinking. I heard you speaking about the formula and everything, but it's hard.
It is hard,
it's
yes.
Hard.
Yeah.
So where, okay, cool, I understand where does one start, but the follow-ups, the everyday steps, because yes. I can easily say as I am right now, okay, cool, I'm done with smoking, or
yes,
whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow I wake up, I have a horrible day in the office, or whatever the case may be, and next thing, I'm getting a smoke.
Yeah.
Because it's my release, I'll call it that.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I'm making action in that sense.
And it's so interesting, firstly, you know, how you link them to, when you tally up what you spend a month, and you yourself, you're saying no one is judging you, that's quite a lot. So that's the first thing. Then the second thing, going back to the idea of not being too hard on yourself, right? And it's okay, I'm accepting this is the situation. And for me, I think two things. So we spoke earlier about the idea of, you know, dissatisfaction with status quo, bit of a compelling vision, and then ability to take first step. And those first step must be baby steps. So for me, what's coming to mind is the following, because I must acknowledge that there's a lot of research that supports the idea that one of the most difficult habits, you know, to shift or even completely drop is the habit of smoking. So absolutely needs, for most people, very few people can quit cold turkey. So for most people, it's baby steps. So it's, for example, starting by saying, you know, I smoke a pack, or I smoke 10 cigarettes a day. I'm going to reduce it to 9, as an example. And please do yourself a favor. Get this book, Tiny Habits by BJ Fogg. I don't get anything for marketing. It's just an amazing book. Because I know often people say, I smoke 10, I reduce to 9, does it matter? You know, the power of just that reward, you were able to smoke 9 today, then next month is 8, then, you know, before you know it, it's half, you're at 5. That's the reward that we spoke up with Bra Aubrey just now. It's so important for shifting habit. So it's the baby step, number one, and then it's that reward, end of the day. Yes, if I count, you know, I managed to achieve that short-term goal. Then I want to add, probably the most important thing in shifting habits is an accountability partner. Mm. Is there someone you can tell of what you are up to as far as smoking is concerned. And let me tell you, the moment the brain knows, Bra Aubrey is my accountability partner. When he says, hey, Baba, how is he doing with that smoking? Already he's reinforcing that habit for me. I don't want to disappoint him. So for me, reporting to him that, you won't believe it, I'm now at 7. I used to smoke 10 a day. That's already a reward. So accountability partner is very important. So ability to take baby steps and having an accountability. It could be a coach, it could be a mentor, it could be a best friend, a brother, you know, a spouse. Just someone you share with your goal and they remind you, they act as your cue. Remember, we said the habits needs cue or signal. Then you take the action, then you need rewards. So you need that person to remind you who says, how are you doing with that goal that you're busy with? I hope that helps, Cliff.
Yeah, it's Prince.
Prince, sorry.
I'm sure it helps him. I want to say something to you. Then I want you to do with it what you will.
Okay. I'm scared now, but okay. You look so serious.
The conversation we're having now is about trying to have a more predictable financial future.
Yes.
We want to be financially well. That's why we're having this conversation.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
But I would wager and say that the principles that you're talking about are true for anything we desire.
Absolutely.
Whether it's better fitness,
yes,
whether it's a better relationship with your spouse, whether it is to achieve a particular academic qualification, these principles are true for any endeavor.
Absolutely.
We're talking about money now.
Yeah.
But... and I'm just going to say this because I don't know how to ask the question or say.
And I must just tell you, 702 listeners, Bra Aubrey is so excited. He actually stood up now if you were in the studio to make his point.
it's a question.
Yeah.
Dressed in a comment.
Right.
That the things that bother us are unconscious.
Correct.
We don't think about them. The advice you are giving to us requires cerebral work. It requires consciousness. It requires us to think.
Reflection.
And reflect.
Yes.
But the power that these habits have over us is that they happen without us thinking about it.
Absolutely.
Which then makes me want to understand their genesis. Where do they come from?
Yeah.
Where do they come from? Because these habits and this way of thinking and this way of being seems to have a genesis. It's started somewhere.
Yes, absolutely.
I had a guest one time on this show who said to me, many of us were raised like this.
Yeah.
At the age when we started to crawl, maybe started to walk, we would walk and as it happens, we would hit the table.
Yeah.
And we'd scream, wah! Mom would come to us and hit the table.
Yeah. True.
Huh?
Yes.
Mom would come and hit the table and say, bad table, you bad table, you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is almost universal.
Absolutely.
To everybody. Yes. Right? And what that did is that it deeply implanted the seed of non-accountability.
Yeah.
Such that when things that hurt us, that have nothing to do, that are caused by us.
Yes,
we blame something else.
Outside force. Yes, absolutely.
And I'm saying that part of the way that I raise my children, and I'm going to get a lot of flack because I usually do whenever I talk about this, is that I try to inculcate the idea of responsibility.
Yeah.
The table was just standing there.
Yes. You bumped into it.
You bumped into the table. So there's no way I'm going to hit the table.
Yes.
And the idea that I hit the table when you bump into the table is that I'm keeping you in a state of childness, of childishness perpetually.
Yeah.
You remain a child forever.
Yeah.
I take away your agency. I take away the idea that you are responsible. You are powerful. You have the power to do this thing. And by the way, like you say, Dr. Magwegwe, I am not immune to this reality myself.
Yes. Right?
So there's no judgment here. I'm simply asking this question and making this comment.
Yeah.
Because this whole conversation is about agency.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. It's about the ability to do by choice what works for you. Instead of the adoption of the narrative that is deeply embedded in our psyche.
Absolutely.
That things are happening to
us. Yes.
To what extent should we be having that conversation?
What a powerful question for
financial wellness.
What a powerful question. And in fact, one of the things that I've grown to appreciate is this idea. And I call it, often my teaching at Gibbs, your story matters.
Yeah.
And why am I talking about that? There is a whole theory called socialization theory. You mentioned socialization in our last session.
Yeah.
So how we were raised. What did parents do when we fell, when we bumped into the table, right? As we grow up, the relationship with money. What did they do when you cried and you're a boy and they say, yo, boys don't cry. You know, my mom, I remember when I cried, and she's beating me for doing something. She even did it harder and more.
You cannot
cry, right? So there's a whole theory of socialization, a big word in social sciences or psychology, that's really just talking to how we were raised as part of it, as direct form of socialization, seeing it from parents and caregivers. Then there's socialization from society, what you see others doing, norms that are acceptable, in society as you grow up. Then, of course, we can't leave the media and everything else that, defines success and glamorizes things. So you are spot on, Bra Aubrey, when we think in the context of socialization theory. There's so many forces that have influenced who we are today. And unfortunately, the habits are unconscious. They need you to think. They need you to reflect, to surface what is actually going on. And in the busy world that we are in, people often don't take time to just reflect on your growing up attitudes, norms, what was important. Why am I doing this that I'm doing today as a 50-year-old? Could my upbringing have anything to do with it? And let alone just around money. So it is indeed, a big topic, and the genesis, as you quite rightly, of a lot of habits is really our socialization. In other words, impact of society on us being direct caregivers, being what we see, acceptable norms, and all those sort of things,
I then want to conclude by saying, Dr. Makwegwe, that if we don't understand that, then we are unarmed.
Absolutely.
If we don't understand how powerful these embedded stories are in the way we behave, then we are unarmed. We will continue to fail.
Yes.
That is why I want to end this conversation by reiterating what you started off by saying. That this is an awakening process.
Absolutely.
We must be conscious.
Yeah.
We must be aware.
Yeah.
We cannot be doing these things almost automatically. It has to be conscious effort that makes us take back our power and our agency to effect reality through sheer will.
Absolutely.
That is that understands what we are involved in and influenced by.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And for me, that is so exciting, in my new gig at Nedbank, because those are some of the things we are grappling to say, as a bank, and you've got this expertise that you have. How can you use it for the good of society? We know levels of financial education are low in the country. So it's spot on.
I'm looking forward to the next conversation we're going to have. Dr. Frank Makwegwe, how do people get in touch with you if they want to continue this conversation outside of these bounds?
If easiest, go to my website, frankmakwegwe.com. That's the easiest way to get to me, on Twitter at Frank Makwegwe, or even just on the Gibbs website. I am also there as a full-time faculty member.
That's Amy Massacre.